Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing three equities in some detail, but before that, as usual, we will be discussing the overall markets. And to do that, we're joined once again by Alan Green. Alan, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Morning, John. Good to be back.
So, Alan, we're gonna move on to three equities, which tie in quite nicely, actually, with the topic that we're going to touch on today. Now, this is something that we discussed probably a few months ago now, in terms of a commodity super cycle, the start of a multi-year cycle in commodities, which sees prices go incrementally higher. Since that point, we have seen significant gains in the commodity complex. I mean, just looking this week at some of the milestones that we've seen, we have copper at a 10-year high. Oil has hit $70 per barrel. If you think back about a year ago now, we were actually trading at negative oil prices. So that's a significant move higher there in the price of oil. We're seeing base metals rise in line with the rest of commodities. And we're getting quite dramatic moves in soft commodities, in particular lumber, which is trading at many multiples of the price it was trading at on the futures exchange just a few weeks ago. So that has actually added, on average, about $25,000 to the cost of a US house. So, of course, there's going to be inflationary pressures there.
Yep.
Just in the last few days, we had the Federal Reserve come out and say they're not going to be raising rates or even tapering until the weaker parts of the US economy are actually showing signs of resilience and some recovery. So now that we have that potential concern that we had some months ago about an increase in rates removed, that does open up the way for a move higher in commodities. Alan, in your view, is it a case now that if you're not significantly invested or have a large proportion of your portfolio invested in commodities, that you may miss out on much of the gains from equities over the next 12 months?
Yes, absolutely, John. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. I mean, we've seen mining stocks and commodity stocks take a breather in the first quarter of the year to some extent. But the macro backdrop is completely set, in my opinion, for a commodity super cycle. Everything's in place, indicating that it's only going to continue. I mean, we've got a load of anecdotal evidence that supports this. There was, I think, the S&P GSCI index has risen by 86% since March last year, and commodities have driven that, but they've taken a breather. But the backdrop is nonetheless one of weakening fiat currencies due to the furlough schemes, the monetary intervention made by governments around the world to support economies. So it just underlines a perfect case, if you like, for strength in commodities. There have been something like four commodity super cycles since the mid-19th century, and each of these super cycles has lasted a decade. And all of these super cycles have been marked with major shifts or major events driving the change in that. And obviously, COVID, you couldn't get a bigger driver to change the global macro picture in that regard. So we have global governments forced to continue spending money on supporting economies, providing support for workers, which is weakening fiscal currency, which will only serve to drive prices up of raw materials such as timber, as you've just described, but also the other commodities that we rely on too. We're seeing high oil prices at the moment. That looks set to continue. And obviously iron ore, copper, the commodities that support the battery metals. And then, of course, you come to gold, precious metals like gold, silver, platinum, group metals, and so on. It's so I think you have to be in commodities, and I think we are set. They're going to be bumps along the road. There will be corrections, but I believe the next 10 years we're set for a commodity super cycle, and that's going to mean everyone should have some commodities or some commodity-related stocks in their portfolio.
So, Alan, when I'm looking, and you did mention it there in terms of mining stocks taking a breather, they've obviously had quite a strong rally over the past 6 months. I mean, would it be, I mean, in your view, sensible to have a mix maybe of mining stocks and ETFs that track the actual commodity prices? Of course, I mean, it's very difficult to hold physicals unless it's gold. So you know if you want to take exposure to the price of copper, of course you can trade the futures, but that comes with, you know, leverage and margin and such like. There are options in ETFs which track the price. I mean, do you think it's worth having a mix, or do you think that over this period that the returns and potential yields that equity has over the commodity prices makes it a more reasonable argument to be in the miners, or do you think it's worth having some direct exposure to the prices as well?
I think it's always worth having exposure to the prices, and I know a lot of investors that are sitting in front of their screens, and they have gold bars in the drawers alongside them, or actually on the desk in front of them, and silver ingots and all the rest of it. So there's no harm having exposure, I think, to the actual metal itself. But of course, the good mining companies, you know, the big stocks like Rio Tinto and Billiton will pay a dividend. So you have the advantage of the dividend and the potential capital gain too. And then sort of lower down the scale, you've got smaller companies. We've obviously spoken about Power Metal Resources beforehand and their spread of assets around the world. You've got smaller companies with potentially huge projects that could explode into life and you know, effectively become 10 baggers at any point. So I think it's the mix that's important, and that mix will depend on your appetite for risk and what your requirements are, whether it's capital gain or whether you want income.
Fantastic. Thank you, Alan. So just one last point on this. I mean, there's been, over the past 10 years, an underinvestment in the development of resource projects, exploration and such like. Would that scenario make you lean towards some of the more junior players within the space as opposed to some of the more established ones, you know, such as, you know, BHP, Rio Tinto, Glencore, to maybe have some exposure if you hadn't before, you know, for these ones that are a little bit smaller, that may be a little bit more focused, not so diversified as the FTSE 100 ones, but they may have a particular copper project that they're working on. Obviously higher risk, but the rewards in a commodity super cycle, do you think that outweighs, in a diversified approach, if you're looking at individual companies, makes it worthwhile having a look at some of the smaller players?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think this is, well, for me personally, this is where the exciting aspect really lies, because you've got, I mean, also, let's not forget modern mining techniques, data mining, 3D modeling, the process of geology. It's all been revolutionized over the past 10, 15 years. And you've got tools now that simply weren't available 10 years ago. So what that means is we're seeing a lot of companies revisit old projects that were hitherto dormant for whatever reason. And these old mines, these old projects are being revisited, and they're discovering, due to the tools they have, they're discovering, say, a new seam or a new geological anomaly that hadn't been recognized previously. And of course, it just opens up the potential again. And I think when you look at these companies, you know, look at the management, look at the people who are running the company, look at their track record, what they've done in the past. I mean, you know, for instance, we've spoken about ECR Minerals. You've got Craig Brown with a great track record with Chrysler Resources and and China non-ferrous gold with the mine that they bought on the gold mine they bought on stream. You've got Power Metal Resources, as we've spoken, Paul Johnson, the CEO, through Metal Tiger, put together a deal with Sandfire Resources in Africa, and so these are things you need to look for. So CEOs that have a track record, and all of these deals were put together in a much tougher time for the mining industry than we're seeing today. So by virtue of that, the opportunities they have now, they can really genuinely attack and grow exponentially. And that's very exciting for shareholders, because you get involved with a company when the shares are at a penny, and they discover something, then it could go to 10p, it could go to 50p, it could go to a pound. And then again, they might not discover something. But I think if you've got a good management team with a good company with a good asset, then you know the sky literally is the limit.
Yes, and also for those investors that aren't minded to lean towards the higher risk end of the market, of course, a commodity super cycle will benefit the FTSE 100 due to the high weighting of commodities. We mentioned the miners in there. Of course, you've got the oil companies in there. So we could see, we've seen a relative underperformance of the FTSE 100 against the US major indices. We could start to see, especially if you look at some of the performances of tech stocks in early days of this week, you could start to see the FTSE 100 outperform relative to US indices if this starts to build steam. And I'm sure, Alan, this is going to be a topic that we touch on again as it develops. So first company, Alan, we're going to discuss today. They IPO'd back in the middle of April. It's Mast Energy Developments. They IPO'd at a price of 12.5 pence. Update today, they touched 15p in early trade, dipped a little bit slightly since then, but not far off that level. But what is interesting, we received a note this morning from Clear Capital Markets. They actually have a price target of 26 pence on the stock, and that's mainly down to the recent developments in their updates. What does that update look like, Alan, from Mast Energy?
Well, it's a very strong update, John. And I mean, I'm just looking at, so of course, Mast Energy shares currently at 14.2p. I'm going to get my live screen. And that, of course, gives the group a market capitalization of around 25 million sterling. Mast Energy, of course, the IPO was very well flagged to retail investors. And this is the company that owns the reserve power units at Bordesley near to Birmingham, and is rolling out a number of other sites. It has it came to market with its IPO estimated power production figure of 20 megawatts, but in the coming months it's going to be rolling out additions to that power generation capacity up to as high as 54 to 58 megawatts, which is a big step forward. And also, you know, just reading note here from Clear Markets, that attributes, that basically underscores the change in the price target to 26 pence. So we have, of course, we spoke about Corcel the other week, which with its 100 megawatt plant at Cambridge, at Burwell near Cambridge. So we're going to see a lot more of these reserve energy plants around the UK, and of course these are driven by the generation is driven by both solar power and gases generated from recycling and so on. It's fitting in with a change in the pattern of consumption across the UK, and of course we're seeing now. We're seeing now a big reliance on, you know, with people working from home, of course, use of computers at home and you know, a lot more power consumption and different different spikes in power consumption. And these reserve power plants are basically there to take up any slack in the generation capacity for the national grid, so they can come online at any time and they are remotely operated. So potentially it's hugely profitable for the owners of these companies, and Mast is in a very strong position to benefit from these changes in the power generation landscape. So the company has also negotiated offtake agreements for all the power it can supply for the next 15 years. So in terms of visibility as an investment at the current levels, you know, you can look at this, and I think at some point it wouldn't be unreasonable to expect the company to start paying a dividend as well. With that sort of visibility, it's easier for the company to plan that out. So this is a new area, it's a burgeoning area. We've got Mast involved so far. Obviously, that was the big IPO. Corcel, of course, had the Burwell power plant in Cambridge that's going to be coming online next year, and it's a very exciting area, and I think one in which we're going to see huge growth in the coming years.
Indeed. There's the IPO presentation on the UK Investor Magazine website. People can check out, and also we'll include a link through to that that research note in the notes to this podcast. So, Alan, let's stay on the topic of advanced energy. Obviously, operating within the energy space, it's becoming an increasingly diverse space from what it was 20 years ago. So what is where do advanced energy specialize, and what's the latest update from them?
Okay, so advanced energy have been around in various iterations over the years. CB Resources, and then more recently Andalas Energy, which I won't go into because there's a fairly checkered history there. But nonetheless, of course, the company is a vehicle on the market, and it initially came to market with plans to source and seek out oil and oil producing assets in the Indonesian region, and in particularly East Timor has been the focus for the group. So shares are currently trading at 2.3p, have traded as high as 3.7p on the year. So we're pretty well at the lows, giving a market cap of 24 million, but with good reason. The company have just completed an investment to own 50% of a company called Carnarvon Petroleum Timor, CPT. And this is a subsidiary of Carnarvon Petroleum, the ASX-listed company. ASX epic code is CVN, and it was awarded a permit in 2016 to explore the Timor Leste oil field in East Timor. Now, this has got quite a history. It was developed in 1999 by BHP Billiton and Nexen, and produced 21 million barrels of oil over 5 years, and at its peak, it was producing some 45,000 barrels of oil per day. Now, remember what I said earlier about new technology coming in to look at old established assets. Carnarvon did that and undertook a new generation 3D seismic survey, and that survey showed that there was a much larger asset in place than had been initially thought. And there are three levels: level one, two, and three. Level one, there's an estimated 16 million barrels of oil. Level two, an estimated 34 million barrels of oil. Level three, an estimated 63 million barrels of oil. And of course, this is low risk. The infrastructure is already in place there. And with this new data, the company will be drilling what they refer to as the B10 appraisal well in the second half of this year, and all being well and on track, they expect to produce the first oil in 2023. So the big step for the company was taken on April the 19th. Advanced Energy acquired 50% of CPT, Carnarvon Petroleum Timor, and it raised 22 million at 2.6p, and this will fund the drilling of the bio-well and obviously buy the stake in the company. The escrow documents have now been released, so that's formalized and the process is underway. There's a very experienced team backing this company. The chairman and non-exec director, Mark Rollins, was formerly the chairman and CEO of Ukrainian UKR Nefta, the oil giant there, which has over 20,000 employees. He also formerly worked for BG Group and Shell, and is Oxbridge educated with engineering science, a doctorate in engineering science, and a master's in mathematics. The CEO is Leslie Peterkin, former director of Woodside Liquid Natural Gas, and worked for Shell prior to that, and has a vast amount of experience dating from the early 80s. And we have Stephen West, the chief finance officer, formerly Petronor African, and oversaw the African Petroleum and Petronor merger. Was also the co-founder of Zeta Petroleum and worked for Tomco Energy. So there's an awful lot of experience there in the team. And I think this is a very exciting company. And given the production that we've seen from BHP and Nexon in the past, and what we're seeing now in the we were talking about the rising commodity prices, obviously the oil price is pushing a lot higher again. And I, you know, despite the emergence of electric vehicles and battery technologies, I expect the oil demand to last for many, many years to come. So this is a valuable asset, and I think we're going to see a lot of growth for this company in the coming 6 to 8 months.
So, Alan, just before we move on to the next company, just, you know, a rough sort of timeline. We've seen shares dip over the past 6 months, not a huge amount, but they're off slightly. I mean, what do you think investors are waiting for, and what will be the next big milestone, do you think, with Advanced Energy?
Well, the big milestone is the drilling of the B10 appraisal well in quarter three this year. So, of course, we're now in quarter two, so we're a few months off that. So I wouldn't expect we're going to see too much over the summer. So if shares consolidate at this level, that's fine. But I would expect to see progress. And they also, let's not forget, I mean, the company have invested into the CBT Buffalo oil field, the Timor-Leste oil field, that there could well be other projects on the horizon too that have yet to be announced. So either way, I think this is an exciting company now to get involved in, particularly with the people at the helm as well. That's as I say, that's a very important factor for me.
Fantastic.
I should also say I am a shareholder in the company too. So, yeah.
Okay. And Justin, thanks for letting us know. So, and now we're going to move on. We touched on copper. Now, this is a company focused on a number of copper mines in Cyprus, Keres Mineral Resources. I think we've touched on them previously on the podcast, but said at the time there's going to be a pretty steady news flow as they develop their resources, which indeed there has been. So what's the latest from them?
Well, this is a really exciting company. And again, referring back to earlier comments about old dormant mining projects being rejuvenated through the use of new technology and data acquisition, Keres is a classic point in case, a classic sort of example of this. Came to market and raised 2.2 million at 10p on the 19th of March. And we're sitting here today in May, and the shares have already hit a high of 24p on the year, sorry, 27p on the year, and are currently trading at 23p, with good reason. The company has, as you said rightly, a series of brownfield sites across Cyprus, which include former producing mines. Its stated aim is to define a mineral resource estimate of 20 to 30 million tons of copper, of 1.5% copper and 1 gram of gold. So the Cyprus mining department includes a number of remnant resources a number of former mines that Keres are involved with include the Kalavasis mine, which had previously 4.68 million tons of copper, the Cambia mine, the Vrescia mine, and the Black Pine asset, which is prospective for nickel and cobalt. So the good thing with the company is it effectively hit the ground running because the projects are already there in existence. undertook, it said in March, as soon as it came to market, that 3D modeling was already underway, drone service, high-res photography, and drilling commenced at the North Mathias Copper and Gold Project well ahead of schedule at the end of end of March. So they very much hit the ground running. In April, they acquired Plutonic Resources Limited, which owns a number of other mines, copper and gold assets in Cyprus. They paid $750,000 cash for that, and a few days later commenced drilling on the Trulli asset, and in doing so recovered visible gold from randomly selected gold chips. The area, or the geological anomaly housing the gold, was thought to be 10 meters thick, and they discovered through their work there it's actually 25 meters thick, so way exceeding expectations. And of course all this fed into and started driving the share price. Then a couple of days ago, the company announced an option agreement with Jubilee Metals. This is an AIM listed company worth $400 million. They entered an option agreement over 6 months, whereby Jubilee would assess the technical and economic merits of all of Kairos Minerals' assets in Cyprus. So immediately, I mean, they'd taken a quantum leap forward, got this deal in there. And in the agreement, Jubilee has the right, or Jubilee and Kairos can convert one or more of the projects of the assets into a project joint venture. Jubilee probably has one of the best track records in this area. It's got a proven track record and is a recognized market leader in its field. So that really has driven the spike in the share price. So of course, if Jubilee gets in there and immediately commences a project joint venture with Kairos on any one of those mines, given the market cap of Kairos is still just 11 million, which is really right at the foot of the mountain for companies with these sort of assets, I think there's every prospect of an explosion in value and the prospect of a much higher share price further in the year or later this year.
So, I mean, when investors are looking at this company, we've obviously discussed gold there and their operations in copper. I mean, which one, in your view, Alan, do you think is going to unlock the most value for shareholders going forward?
Well, they've started the Trulli mine that they were drilling on April 12th has already recovered visible gold. The North Mathias copper gold project also being drilled. So I would imagine those will be top of the list. But because there are so many within the portfolio, Jubilee may well turn around to them and say, well, actually, we think the Kalavassos asset has more value. So I think we're going to see, if you look at the pace of developments already, within 2 months, we've got to this point where the share price has over doubled from the initial IPO price, and they have an option agreement with a big mid-cap mining company, Jubilee Metals. So given the pace of developments, I fully expect that we'll see an announcement regarding one or more of the projects probably within the coming weeks.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Alan. So as a recap there, stocks that we discussed today, Advance Energy trades under the ticker of ADV. Just then was Kairos Mineral Resources, which trades under the ticker of CMRS. And at the beginning was Mast Energy Developments with a ticker of MAST. Alan, thank you very much for joining the podcast today.
Thanks, Jonathan.
So just a reminder, anybody that's trying to find the research notes for Mast Energy Developments, there will be a link in the notes of this podcast where you can access that. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.